Friday, June 25th, 2022. This is The Better Life. I am your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means making a run out to Vegas. And that's what I did just a couple weeks ago. I was out in Las Vegas for Vegas Vacation 11. Got to see a bunch of people, make new friends, see old ones. It was a lot of fun. There are two ways that you can take in my experiences at Vegas Vacation 11. One is here on today's episode, and then the other, which this will probably drop in the next 24 hours, on Patreon. I'll be dropping an episode with me and my better half, Eric Rosenthal, as we don't necessarily talk specifically about Vegas Vacation 11, but I do bring up some anecdotes from my time on that one as well. So both of these two together, you'll get a lot of what I care to bring up from my time. But boy, it was just a lot of fun. It was just great to see everybody. These are getting better for me personally as they go, because I just get to know more people. And so the next time around, get to see them again. And that's always exciting. For those of you that are new to the program here, maybe you're like, what is he talking about? 360 Vegas is a podcast put on by Mark, Tony, and Karen. And they, once or twice a year, will put on a little community meetup called 360 Vegas Vacation. And everybody runs out to Vegas and hangs out while we do certain events like meetups and brewery tours and group gaming, cigar lounge, etc. And it's a lot of fun. You can follow them at 360 Vegas on Twitter, and you can find that podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. Doing a lot of catch up over here in The Better Life. June was kind of disjointed, leaving a temporary position, now back into a full time position. Both positions were full time, but not a temporary situation that I have going on here. So a professional transition, got some personal transitions going on. Had, of course, the vacation, had a family vacation to do as well. So things were a little disjointed, but we're back. This week on The Better Life, we have Tim Kennedy. Most of you know Tim Kennedy on Twitter at TimKennedy11. He has a White Sox logo as his avatar. He can be found sharing GIFs of being bored whenever I mention betting on soccer on Twitter. This is his second 360 Vegas vacation that he was at just recently. And when we were there, I brought up, hey, we should have you on the show. And he thought I was just being nice. But I have learned that people enjoy listening to their fellow gambler, their fellow community member here in this wonderful gambling community that we have. And I thought, you know, rather than bringing on the Tony Snyders of the world to do a recap, let's bring someone who attends these and get their thoughts. So we learned about Tim and his, the typical who you are as a gambler. And then we hear about his thoughts on Vegas Vacation and that event overall. Enjoy. All right, Tim Kennedy, you may know him at TimKennedy11 on Twitter. He has the White Sox logo. Sir, it's always a pleasure talking to listeners and to community members. And when we were at Vegas Vacation, I was like, well, I should have Tim on the show. He would make a great addition to that group of people. So, sir, thank you for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me. I honestly didn't. I thought you were just, shining me out a little bit. It's going, oh yeah, you should be on the podcast. And then you IM me and it's like, hey, well, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, here you are. Look, there's, people love hearing from the gamblers they see on podcasts, stuff like that. But honestly, I get some of the best feedback when I bring on community members, right? People just like hearing about their fellow gambler and how they got into gambling and how they enjoyed Vegas and such. So, but Tim, let's not get too far. You know how we start every one of these interviews. Bring us back if you can remember that far back. I'm only going to make a couple old jokes. I promise. I'm only going to make
all right,
couple.
I appreciate that.
Bring us back to your first exposure to gambling, or at least your first recollection of being around gambling.
Well, it kind of started early for me, and it started with my family. We would always play poker after holiday meals, Christmas, and I'm the youngest of seven kids, and my grandparents, my dad, and we all would sit around the table and play nickel dime poker. And that's basically where I learned how to play most of, you know, the standard poker game, seven card stud, five card draw, that kind of thing. And we just did that. I mean, this is, I think, my earliest recollection, maybe 10 or 11 years old. And then knowing how to play poker. And as I got older, I played more with my friends. And we have an annual poker, what we call poker weekend, where 20 or so of us gather at two houses in a lake in Michigan that my friend has.
At two houses?
Yes. So, well, one house is basically for eating and stuff, and one house is the poker house, right? And
okay.
And we've been doing this for over 30 years now.
That's amazing.
And it's a blast, and I end up coordinating it every year. Every year I say I'm not going to do it, and I do it every year because, you know, I'm a control freak. But so we have people that fly in from California and Oregon and a bunch of different states, and these are just friends that I've had forever, and it's just a great weekend.
Yeah. So where did you say you do this?
This is in Michigan. It's a house. They're cousins, my two friends.
Okay.
And they have houses right next to each other on a lake in Western Michigan.
I'm jealous because that sounds.
And we do it in January.
But I mean, how fun of an event, you said that you sort of make the joke about the control freak wanting to like arrange and everything, but I imagine it's like, as soon as it's done, you like kind of look forward to the next one. And it kind of gives you this thing to anticipate coming around on the calendar year. What a fantastic way to just kick off a new year too.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. And I can count on one hand how many years I've missed. I missed 2020 because, you know, of 2020. But
yeah.
Before that, it's been at least 20, 25, 27 years since I've missed one.
I'll be honest, Tim.
I can't remember.
Do you clean up at this thing? Like, are you come out of there with fuller pockets?
When we were younger men, not so much. Oh, are you talking about cleaning up gambling wise?
Right, right. Yeah.
No, I thought you meant cleaning up the house.
No, cleaning up at the tables.
There are years I have won, but as we all gotten older, there are a lot of good card players. I don't mind telling you, we play, and there's some pretty crazy games that go on. But and we have usually three hold'em tournaments a weekend, one Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night because it goes to Monday. And one of the things we do is if you win a lighter, or if you win a tournament, you win a Zippo lighter that has the year of what you won on it.
So I have those super made cool.
And so it's kind of like our version of a bracelet, but
yeah.
And then I keep track of it all on a spreadsheet. So
that's it, Tim. That sounds like so much fun. You don't know how like jealous I am. Like, as you, I'm like, do I have any friends that even want to do this? Like, how can I arrange this?
I posted a picture of the group of us on Twitter right after it happened. And Tony from 360 Vegas, he's like, how does one get invited to this? You know, but it is a great time.
Yeah. Very cool. And so you said you've been doing this for 30 years. You've only missed a couple times.
More than 30 years. The first year I didn't start going to 1983.
Okay.
But it started in 1979.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. With our, you know, with my friends that own the houses, their uncle started it. And then as the younger guys grew up, we kind of took it over. And now my friends' kids are are attending, and it's like third generation in so far. It's great.
That's awesome. That's the better life right there.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, it's Michigan. Sports betting is legal in Michigan now. Like, are you guys like sitting at the table getting you junkies getting
no, action? They just not so much, but usually it's last year was on wild card weekend.
Okay.
And since they moved the schedule around with week 17 and everything, so we have the games on, there's poker games, there's all sorts of drinking and great food and everything.
Yeah.
But not so much with the gambling with the phones and stuff yet. I mean,
okay.
I may do it next time, but
yeah,
I have a hard enough time here in Illinois.
Yeah. So you are in a state that's legal. Illinois has been such an interesting case.
I haven't really even been able to keep track, but like at they took away mobile betting. Is that right?
No, it was a goat F from really the start, the way they did it.
Yeah.
Where you had to go into a location, either a casino or a race
sign up
or something to sign up.
Yeah.
And then during COVID, they suspended that. They said you could sign up, just, you know, download the app and deposit some money and you can start betting. And then they went back to the physical sign up, and then they got away with from it. So,
okay.
There's obviously the big ones in Illinois are, you know, FanDuel and whatever the other one is.
DraftKings.
Yeah, DraftKings. But then you have BetRivers and you have
BetMGM is in there.
And Circa just got a license and they're going to be kicking off, I guess, sometime this year.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I just heard that.
So, you know, Circa's interesting. I wonder what's I could have sworn I heard a state recently like was backpedaling on mobile. And anyways, so you can't bet from your phone. That's good.
Yes.
You know, Circa entering states is good because I think it's good for there to be an example of what good bookmaking looks like. Mm-hmm. But I think the average bettor, as much as we get like excited that there's a good the good guys in the market, I mean, none of us are really taking advantage of like of the things that really make the, you know, the obvious limits and the take any bet. Right. So like that doesn't matter to like 90% of us, right? But it is cool to see like the good guy enter the market, right?
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it, and I plan on using it when they do get online. But I hear you tell the stories of how you're getting, you know, limited on how much you can bet. And usually when I'm betting using the sports book, I put a set amount in and I try not to put any more in, and I bet low, you know, I just bet for, I don't want to say for fun, but you know, a lot of it is homer bets and, you know, I bet the White Sox and stuff like that, but you know, unders and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to them coming into the market. I want to see exactly, because right now I use Caesars because I can get rewards points and two credits for using that app. And then I have BetRivers, which is pretty good too.
So I'm glad you brought up using a specific app for points and stuff. I mean, that is one of the advantages to using BetMGM, Caesars, Barstool, even Barstool's tied to, you know, my choice program. And I mean, so many people aren't going to worry about getting limited. I fortunately don't get limited often, but when I do, it's really super annoying. But it's like, I have used, so like BetMGM, like they have their own reward points within the sports book. And then you can like use that to transfer points over to your like actual MGM rewards account. Mm. And so I have been using the rewards I'm getting in the sports book for express comps on my MGM rewards account, so that way every couple of weeks of betting I can take the wife to dinner.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're getting something out of this, honey.
Exactly. And then while we're there, I'm picking up free plates. I heard gambling is just easy and free.
That's a good way to go about it.
Yeah. No, she's smarter than that, but you know, I do what I can to keep the veil up as much as I can. What has the user experience been for you? Like, have you, first of all, what is your local casino, if you don't mind?
So yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. So there are basically three, and one is Rivers, which is in Des Plaines, which is about 5 minutes from where I work.
Okay.
But I haven't been there since before the pandemic because I haven't been going into the office that much. But
right.
And then there's Grand Victoria, which is in Elgin, which is about 20 minutes from my house. And then there's Harrah's Joliet. Now, not counting all the Indiana casinos, but and Joliet's about an hour from where I live. So the good thing about Caesars being bought out by
William Hill.
No. The casino. God, I can't think of the name of the company that bought Caesars.
Eldorado.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm thinking specifically of sports book. And then I just got it wrong. Caesars bought the William Hill brand in the U.S. I think
in the U.S. Happened. Yes. So that was good. So now just this past month, they finally migrated their players club over from whatever they had before to Caesars. So now I don't have to drive an hour to get my free play, or I can just go 20 minutes down the road. And it's a nice casino. It's you know, one of the boat casinos that's on the river, but it's not huge, but it's, you know, got two craps tables and a sports book and a, you know, a nice bar area. And I go there Saturday, Sunday morning. I pick up my free play or play some craps or whatever. And it's always a good time. But now that they have been onto the Caesars player's card, it's going to be much better.
I don't know what it is about. Like, I don't like being in a dump. Let's get that out of the way. No one likes being in a dump, right? True. But there's something about the dive bar version of a casino that I can really appreciate, right? Like, there, Iowa has a handful of them that I've been through. I've especially in like the Illinois, Indiana area, like in like the Ameristar, like to the ones where it's like the old boats that are like, and some of them feel like if there weren't casino games here, this would just be a cool interesting dive bar, right? Like that's how it feels. There's something I can appreciate about
this is a little nicer than and on the there's three levels, and then on the on the bottom level they have all video poker and a small poker room. So. I mean, you could go there and play live poker and everything. It's really nice.
Yeah. Okay. Good. You never know with those former like those boat ones, right? Because I got one at the Boomtown one in New Orleans. I walked down there and I was like, am I gonna get robbed? Like, and I'm in the casino and I'm like, I feel like I'm about to get robbed.
That's funny.
Yeah. So when did you start going to, like, when did Vegas become a part of your life?
I always knew that I wanted to go even as a younger man, but I didn't have the means, and the 90s was kind of a lost decade for me with a bad marriage, blah blah blah. So I got divorced in 2000, and 2000 was the first year I went, and my buddy Jim, who lives in San Diego, he's like, you got to come visit with me and I'll teach you all about craps and I'll show you how to play on this computer game that I got. And then we'll go and then we'll drive from San Diego to Las Vegas. And this was September of 2000. And so we're driving with me and my buddy and a friend of his. And of course we stop at the First Chance, right? Whiskey Pete's right at the border. And it was my buddy Jim loves to tell the story because he's like shaking as I'm like holding out the money to the dealer. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. Just throw it down on the table, you know? So we bought in for $50. I won $55 and I thought it was all the money in the world. I'm like, man, I love this game. And then by the end of that weekend, everyone's going, where's Tim? Where's Tim? Oh, he's standing at the end of the craps table screaming, watch your hands. And my buddy's like, oh my God, I created a monster. I'm sweat dripping down my face. And that was the first weekend, it was a 3-day weekend in Vegas. And I've been going every year since, at least once or twice a year.
Yeah. That's awesome. Where did I don't know. Did you say where you stayed? I don't know.
I stayed at Harrah's.
Okay.
Yeah. So Harrah's, I mean, as I mentioned, Caesars is kind of my main thing. So I always get comp. Now I get comp. When we were there for Vegas vacation, I stayed at Harrah's because it was right across the street from the Raj. It was going to be, logistically easier. But normally we would stay at Bally's. We stayed at Planet Hollywood. Where else have we stayed? We stayed at Gold Coast one year. I know that's not a Caesars property, but and stayed at the Rio and places like that. But
So you've been trying to go at least once a year. How has it been watching Vegas evolve the way that it has from your first trip till now?
Yeah, I have to admit, I missed the Desert Inn by 1 year, and from what people tell me, I'm not missing much. I guess the Desert Inn closed in 99, and I grew up watching Vegas, Dan Tana, and he was always at the Desert Inn. I wanted to see the Desert Inn, but I just missed it. But all the big casinos were there, and or at least the Mirage were all of the big ones are there, and then seeing the Venetian and everything go up, I mean, they're just it's just so much fun to go and even just walk through these casinos. Yeah. Right. You don't have to sit down and play every single one. And then we'd always spend at least one night downtown, you know, and playing Binions and stuff like that. Circa's awesome now. And I just love Vegas. I can't help it. I'd go more than twice a year if I could.
Yeah.
But now that my wife is going to a conference, she went one last in November and this year again. So we were just there and now we'll go again in November. It'll be great.
Yeah. Awesome. What is your favorite property there now?
It's always been Bally's for me.
Okay.
It's unfortunate with all of those shops in the in front of it now, but we've always liked that place. It's easy to get around and it's kind of, you know, center strip, and you can walk to a lot of different places and it's easy to get around. And you know, you got the monorail behind there, and I like it a lot.
You told a story about how you fell in love with the game of craps. I know that you are still an enjoyer of the game craps. Well, what else do you play?
I play blackjack is really my other game that I've gotten a lot better at it in the last few years. I used to be really not good, and I would not sit down at a blackjack table unless my buddy Tom was sitting next to me, because there are some decisions I just couldn't gather. But you know, I've gotten a lot better. And obviously basic strategy, but I like playing blackjack too, because as long as you don't sit down and get slaughtered, you know, you can sit there for a while and have some fun. If you, especially with a good group of people and a good dealer, it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And 3-2, that's key as well. You know, blackjack for a lot of reasons gets a lot of criticism and, so to be honest, a little bit of hate from members of this community. I know I have added to, but it's not the game that I dislike. It's the miserable players that it seems to attract.
I agree with you. And I honestly have, and I've sat in that third base spot, and I don't think I have ever had anybody say anything to me about what I did or didn't do. And that happens. I've seen it happen. The one thing that bothers me is, and this is, I'd like to get your take on it. So I'm sitting at a blackjack table at MGM. The husband and the wife are playing next to me to the right of me. The husband is absolutely spot on with, you know, basic strategy, and the wife is doing whatever she wants, splitting tens, doing, you know, just playing crazy. And I didn't say anything because I'm not that guy. But then the husband doesn't say you shouldn't do that or anything, even though he knows how to play. So I don't know the relationship or anything, but I would think he should be guiding her on the correct way to play. And, you know, other people at the table or whatever. I just, you know, but that kind of stuff doesn't happen to me a lot. I usually end up sitting at a table with a bunch of nice people that we chit chat.
So Vegas is a little bit better because it is a little bit more tourists that are a little more like they don't know better. A lot of them do. And they're fine. Like, I am someone who, like, of course I naturally want everybody to make the right decision, but like, if they don't, I don't feel like they've ruined the, like, I don't, it doesn't make any difference to me. Right. I'm going to make my decision regardless. Right. But every once in a while you get that person, that cranky blackjack player, and like, they can't help themselves, but say something. I have a story from Vegas vacation, about blackjack. I don't know if I told you this or not, but, I was at El Cortez and I was killing time before my barber appointment. And, this couple sits down, they play, the guy, dealer has a bus card. I think it was a four. Guy goes first. He gets like an eight. He hits, I think he like hits to a 13 or 14. And like, he like thinks about it really hard. And then he takes a card, and of course he busts. Right. And then, whatever. I could tell he was going to, too. Like, you could tell, like, he was just so talk. But then she had a dealt 14. She had like, she was one number off, and he's like, oh, I'm pretty sure the book says to stay. And in my head, I was like, what? Like,
didn't you read the book for your own play?
Yeah. I was like, wait, you're aware of that? Like, I wasn't mad. I was just so confused. I was like, you didn't apply that thinking. It was so funny. Like, it was so typical blackjack confused. It was great. It's blackjack players or something else. But I do enjoy, but here's a problem is I don't like a fast blackjack game. And so, but So the more people you add, the more likely a miserable player is going to be there, right? That's the conundrum that I'm in, is I very rarely want to sit down at a table by myself. But we played some blackjack when we were at the Plaza. Yeah. And that was enjoyable, right? Those are people, Eric gave me a hard time on whether or not I'm making a play. Like, there's a couple of hands I almost played incorrectly, and he made sure I knew it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't meet him when I was there.
I'm sure there will be another opportunity, though.
I hope so.
And for anybody who's listening, Tim and I are going to go over some moments we had on Vegas vacation. I'm curious about his experience. And then on Patreon in a few days, Eric and I will do the same. So this month's Patreon episode will include our experience in Vegas. Eric really wasn't at a lot of the events, but he was around, and we have plenty to say about casinos, etc. Okay, Tim, let's talk about the recent event of Vegas Vacation 11, or as you coined it, and I was surprised. I was like, I don't know if this is gonna catch on, but it did.
I was surprised.
Vegas Vacation Yo 11. First of all, so this was my third Vegas vacation. How many have you been to now?
This is my second. Last year was my first.
Okay, last year's your first. Okay. Yeah. How was it the second time around when it to compare, give just a sentiment, how did they compare?
Knowing more what to expect, and the people, it was, the second time was, I mean, a lot easier. I was nervous. And last year, my wife was with me, and I wasn't sure how much, and I remember last year in a conversation that you were having with us at the bar, explaining the ecosystem of the podcast. All right, this is a gambling podcast, and this is a Vegas podcast. And she really enjoyed all that.
Good.
So I was a little worried about that. But everyone was so nice and welcoming, and met a bunch of nice people. We've met some people from the Chicago area. And then this year I knew more what to expect, and it was, it was just as good, if not better.
Even good, if not, or just as good, if not better. I think that's the title of the episode now. Good job, Tim. Yeah, that was easy. Vegas Vickies, good as ever.
Oh yeah,
good as ever.
It always, I don't drink the cocktails like you guys. I'm pretty good with just beer, and so they have good IPAs and good conversation, and I bought some people drinks and everything, and this is same with last year. I get the bill, and it was like, $48. I was expecting it to be like 100 and something,
Yeah.
So I think pretty reasonable too for a new casino and everything, but that bar is awesome. And the bartenders were great.
Yeah. It's just a perfect first night meetup spot, right? Especially because there's easy gambling nearby, where you don't feel like you're stuck in the middle of something, right? Like anybody who for some reason wasn't feeling it, like you're downtown, you can just go do whatever you want if you want to. Yeah. I remember last year we didn't. I don't think we had the trouble so much this year, but I remember last year, like a couple hours into it, people were like, "So are we gonna go gamble?" like and we're like, "Yeah, we'll get around to that." And everybody just keeps talking, right?
Everyone was having too much fun, talking and stuff. Yeah,
yeah. But I know a handful of people wandered over to Plaza. I know that Julian from 360, from Vegas Confessions, was able to get a craps table locked down. I think they did some slot races while they were over there. I ran and caught up with the hammer, and then I came back over to Plaza. How did you end up enjoying your evening that?
It was great. Night? We got over there about 6:45, and the table wasn't opening till 8:00, so we went over into the Sand Dollar and check that place out. That was really cool. Cool little place that just opened up at the Plaza, and they had a lot of good beers. And we're there with Shane and Tony and everybody, and we were having, a couple beers. And I'm not gonna say I was a little buzzed when we finally stepped over to the table, but it was funny. 8:00 came around, and we all were just standing at the table waiting. And the dealers walk up, and the dealers in the box were really good. And we had a. And everybody bought in, and we played for 2.5 hours, and I colored up for exactly what I bought in for.
Oh, good. Good.
So that was my best craps experience of the whole weekend.
Was that table bouncy as ever?
Yes, it was. The dice were flying, and I finally got into a little groove where I was able to throw the dice when I was shooting. Cause I was in the hook and went in with Pony and Karen, and I would hit the corner and they would kind of roll around the back wall. And I was trying to do that because they were flying off the table like
fly all over the place.
You were exactly right about that.
Yeah. By the way, so you mentioned the Sand Dollar, beautiful space. They nailed it. They absolutely nailed this space.
Absolutely.
The you mentioned there's good beer there, and there absolutely is. There is a they have a handful of craft beer options in the can that they will comp if you are playing. And not to spoil anything, but I think this is cool. And so forgive me if this is somehow a spoiler, but everybody has seen a picture of the vending machine that they have there, right? In the corner, they have a beer vending machine, and there are options like PBR, Colt 45, and then one of the options says mystery beer. Well, Tim, I love a good gamble. And yes, so I was like, let me try this mystery beer. And lo and behold, a double dry hopped hazy IPA popped out.
Nice.
Like it was a good beer, right? Like I was expecting some other run of the mill, like something like the Colt 45 or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a good beer. And I went back to the next day. I got a nice German lager. What it ends up being is the craft beer that they have canned in their fridge is available in that mystery beer slot there. And here's the thing. It's $8. I think it's like $8 behind the bar. If you're not playing, it's like $6 in the mystery in the vending machine. There so a little hack there.
And they have a champagne vending machine as well.
Yes, they do. I've been in there when it's been dead quiet with nobody. Fine to be in there. I've been in there when there's a band playing. It's a little loud, and if you're not digging the music, it's difficult to sit there. I think like it is a loud space like that, and so
it's kind of enclosed, so I not a lot of space for the sound to go. But the band hadn't started when we were in there, so we were good.
And I have to say, one of my biggest complaints about Plaza is service has been a coin flip, especially at the tables. The staff behind the bar at Sand Dollar, perfect. Yeah, like they were very attentive. They were very on top of their things. They were kind. It was refreshing. And Jonathan Jossel, the Plaza, everybody nailed that space.
Yeah.
All right. Monday, we did a brewery crawl, Tim, and you, me, Matt,
Shane,
thank you. I saw his Twitter handle and I was like, that's not his, he's not his Shaggy's not his name. Shane, we all sort of hung out as we were going to each brewery. Went to Abel Baker, Nevada Brew Works, Craft House, and Hop Nuts. And let me tell you, they were all quality breweries. What did you think of this set of venues?
I thought it was great. I know in the past Vegas vacations, they would just go to Banger Brewery. Last year, that was the first time I had ever been to Banger Brewery. So I liked it, but this is a much better idea. And Karen was pretty good about not spending too much time in one place so we could get them all in a few hours. And as I agree with you, as for all, I didn't have any bad beers there and of the ones I ordered. And Hop Nuts, the last one, I since we didn't have anywhere else to go, I had two. I was able to try two different beers, and they were that hazy IPA there was really fantastic.
This is going off of imperfect memory, but I think my favorite beers were at Craft House, which was the third stop, I believe.
Yeah, I got you.
I enjoyed the beer at all of them. I definitely enjoyed, we played a game of shuffleboard at the last stop. And we enjoyed, good beer. Oh, I will say I can't remember what it was. We had a hazy at the first stop that was good too, at Abel Baker.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah. It worked out that the little crew that we had going with all sort of liked the same stuff. So it was easy to just walk up and start ordering things. So, very good. Would you do so if he did that again, would you go and get like, would you hop, like even if it was the same set of breweries, are you in for another round?
Absolutely. Yeah. And from what I understand, that Arts District, there's no shortage of breweries down there. I mean, no. I'm sure he could probably, swap out a couple of them, or, you know, if they're all still within walking distance or whatever. I've heard about this when it catches my ear. I hear people talking about Chicago. Brewery, I think it's called, or something, but I've heard good things about that, and but yes, I would definitely do that again.
I I would be, I imagine it's going to be a staple on the event list, because we all know the infamous comment from Tony Snyder that people just weren't going to show up for this for logistic reasons or whatever, you know, whatever his reasoning was. People showed up and they stayed around. There was 15, at least 15 people at each stop, I think. And some people, you know, some people left a couple in, some people showed up a couple in, right? But there was consistently 15 people in our group. And so, I imagine that's going to be a staple, which is awesome because, like, you and I both love good beer. And there was no shortage of that on this beer crawl.
Absolutely. It was great.
The 360 Vegas Vacation family meet and greet was at the Mirage Center Bar. Vital Vegas was there, Las Vegas Gal, myself, Pennies for Vegas, Chef Demoni, Michael from Travel Zork, and then Julian from the Vegas Confessions podcast. Did you meet any of these individuals for the first time?
No, because stupidly, I went to the room after the brewery crawl.
I'm such a jerk introducing this like this because I know this is the story.
I know you know the story.
I'm setting you up for failure on this side. That was rude of me.
No, I deserve it. I deserve it because I fell asleep. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to fall asleep. And I fell asleep. I'm like, and I don't know, it was like 4:30 or something when I got back to the hotel and start watching Friends or something, looking at Twitter. And I fell asleep and I woke up and I look at my phone and it says 8:30. Or 8:15, and I look at the window and I said, "Wait, I slept." First thing I said was, "Oh, I slept in." And the second thing is, "Why isn't it sunny?" And then I'm like, "Holy crap, it's 8:15 at night."
Yeah.
And I again, logistics saved me a little bit, but I got over there around 8:30. I threw shirt on and ran across the street, and I missed Penny's. I missed Michael Traeger. Mm-hmm. I missed Eric again. Scott was still there. Vital Vegas was still there, and Karen and Tony and Mark. So we kind of just stood around, and I had to explain myself and my stupidity, and I bought everybody a drink and started drinking. And they had a nice IPA on tap there at the Mirage Center Bar. So I
they did
went on that, and Ed and I went over and played some $25 blackjack. That was fun. We hung around for a while and then we got knocked down, but said hello to Scott, and then I was catching up on the vlogs this week, and I saw that the Vegas Introvert actually made it over there, and I wanted to meet him, but of course missed him too because he wasn't there very long anyway. So
yeah, we were at we went to Sahara, oddly enough. We didn't announce it because we know there's some that Sahara is not popular with everybody in that group. We quickly looked around Mirage and we were like, I don't think we're playing here. You know, like I was like, the tables were a little expensive, and Eric and I were, I think, knew we were eventually going to get on a Baccarat squeeze game, which we ended up getting into at Sahara. So we ended up going down to Sahara. I'll talk more about our Baccarat game on my conversation with Eric, but we began with playing Pai Gow. My buddy Ben showed up, was there for that as well. He got mad at me because I almost, the Pai Gow dealer was a little green on the rules of the Pai Gow to the face up. Like it was some weird version of face up where it wasn't a push on an ace high. It was like something about the dealer having jacks or something. And Eric's like, oh, is that a, like, I turn around and I go, as I'm explaining it to Eric, she is not following the rules on this like jack thing in favor of, and I see Ben in the corner of my eye, I can see Ben looking at me like, would you shut the fuck up? And I was like, oh yeah, I'll tell you later, Ben, or Eric, okay. And we get up to leave and Ben was like, I think it was supposed to be like a loss for the table or something like that. And she was like pushing and it was good for the table what she was doing. And he was like, yeah, I almost hit you off the table as you're talking about it, cause we thought she was going to see it. But we grabbed some food. There's a taco joint there, which was really cool. No, like waitress. You just scan the ordering in like website on your phone, you put in an order, you pay for it right there, and then they come around and deliver your food. So really easy way for a group of people to sit around and eat food together. You don't have to worry about how you're splitting checks and all sort of stuff. It's just like everybody's ordering and paying food on their own. And then, you know, people come and go as they want. So that was nice and easy. And then Eric and I ran to the High Limit area to play some squeeze baccarat, and him and I will talk about that, cool, on the Patreon episode. Yeah. That was a good time. So you said you played some blackjack. Anything, any notable hands, any notable experiences there?
No, Ed had, he ended up splitting nines four times. And I don't think I've seen that, because it was against like a three or a four.
Yeah.
And he just kept splitting, and he had pressed his bet up to 50. So he was like 50, 100, 152. It was just like, and then of course the dealer 21 out, you know, so it was just, it was a bit of a kick, but, it was fun group of players and a good dealer. And, I actually, kind of like the Mirage. I haven't spent a lot of time in the Mirage. I was kind of liking it.
I will say, so one of my big takeaways whenever I'm on the strip in recent history, past couple of years, is I always like, I don't know if the strip's for me. Like, I don't, like, there's something about like this, like the strip atmosphere that I'm always like, I think I'm more of a downtown person. I like some of the off strip properties. But I will say I did enjoy Mirage. Like there was something, I see why it did so well for so long. Like it is kind of, it's comfortable. It was actually pretty easy to navigate for being a bigger, like being one of these first sort of like mega resort or big hotel areas. Yeah. And so I also enjoyed it, down there at the Mirage, and just because of its legacy, I will be sad to see it go. And I was glad that Mark, Karen, and Tony decided to include the Mirage on this trip, because, I think we all were sort of, hoping that we could get one sort of last hurrah there as a, because it was the first time I'd ever stayed there too. And I think it was only the second time I'd ever gambled there in my life. So, yeah,
we haven't spent a lot of time there.
Yeah. Tuesday, the final day, you and I were both at, did you go hiking on Tuesday morning?
I did not go hiking.
Yeah, neither did I. I love hiking. I wish I could motivate myself to go on these things, but 8 a.m. is early after two straight nights of drinking and group gaming. So I would rather, I enjoy sleeping in, when I'm in Vegas, when my body lets me, I should say. But you and I went, with I think maybe like 16 other people, were at the 360 Vegas cocktails event, in the 360 Vegas suite they had there at the Mirage. That's not the name of the suite, just what I'm calling it, because it was their suite. The Mirage has not dubbed that the 360 Vegas suite.
They should.
Yeah. Tony, did you do this last year?
No, I did not. I skipped it last year. And then okay. I was like, I really kind of wish I would have done it just to experience it.
Yeah. Both times were great. Yeah. The space was a little bit different last year, but the sort of the routine and the process and sort of everybody, it was just as good as it was last year. What'd you think of the three drinks? I don't remember the three drinks, but I thought they were quite unique. There were drinks that I definitely wouldn't, I don't know if I would pick out on my own on a cocktail menu, which I enjoyed, because those are the kind of drinks I want to learn about.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not really that big of a cocktail person, but, I did like the second one, not the one with the whiskey, but the second, I don't know. I can't remember them either.
Yeah. Something sunset, something about sunset, something, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That was nice and fruity and refreshing. And I honestly don't remember the third one, but, it's interesting to hear Tony talk about, he really does know, you know, a lot about making cocktails, and, he did great at answering the questions everything, you know, people had and things. And then, I don't know if I have the patience to wait 3 weeks to make Karen's drink, but it would be definitely cool.
For anybody, has nothing to do with Karen. It's just, in fact, that Karen's drink involved a 3-week process of putting pineapple in a vodka bottle, and letting it become sort of a pineapple flavored liqueur almost. So, nothing against Karen herself. But that was tasty. I don't remember what the third drink was, but it involved guava puree. which was really interesting, and made that drink especially unique as well.
Yeah,
great set of drinks, cool set of people. I enjoyed hanging out with everybody.
Nice swag. I managed to get home without breaking my glass.
Yeah, there you go. I do recommend, if anybody wants to go to 360 Vegas vacation, if anybody wants to go to one of these Vegas vacations and the cocktail thing sounds interesting, it's almost like Mark puts it out for Patreon people first, and then after like a week or two, then he sends it out to the public. And there's usually only a couple spaces left when by the time it gets to the Patreon people. The Patreon is worth that sort of access if that's something you're interested in, because I think the cocktail event is worth it if you decide to go to these things. It's you know, cool to see the amount of work that that Karen and Tony put into it, and it pays off. And then cigars at Davidoff. By the way, when I walked up, I was like, I asked the lady, and I was like, is it Davidoff or Davidoff? Because I feel like I've said it both ways so many times. She didn't confirm that it is Davidoff.
Oh, okay.
Official from the lady outside of the event, or the little air space here. Cool space. Not one that, you know, I'm not going to lie, I've seen that space before, and I didn't really think much of it as I walked past it. But now that we were like going in, like, that was the place to be after being in there, I was like, holy smokes, this is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, and it is small, right? It is, you know, there isn't a whole lot of space, but there's more than you think there is when you first pass by it.
And that's, I
think,
true. That's, it looks really small from the outside, and they have a nice little outdoor area. You want to sit outside and have your smoke or whatever.
Yeah.
We sat at the bar like you do.
And, yeah.
It was really cool. You expect cigars to be pricey. They were, you know, that didn't surprise me, but, you know, and a couple good beers. It was good. I enjoyed that.
I paid $20 for a Camacho cigar, which, you know, is a decent markup, but it was, like I said, expected to be a little pricey, but like to, you know, you also, like, I wasn't blown away, right? I've heard people that had to buy, that have tried buying cigars at the cigar place at Resorts World, and they're like, no way am I buying a cigar here. Davidoff at least has a reasonable markup, and provided experience that I think felt was worth it, right?
Yeah, I spent $20 on a Cuba Cuba Deluxe, which is the bigger version of the acid Cuba Cuba. And, yeah, it was $20, and, you know, it's pretty much what I expected.
Yeah. One thing I am learning though, so I started with a glass of whiskey when I first started smoking a cigar, but there was something like I think it was just the heat of like how hot, like from being in the heat, and my body was already sort of warmed up from the cocktails earlier. I wanted a nice cold beer on my palate as I was smoking that cigar. Like after I had my glass of whiskey, I was like, I need to go to beer. Like I need that cool, refreshing feeling on my palate with this like warm cigar smoke coming in.
Yeah.
Love a Camacho though, man. It's a Connecticut leaf. It's so, I've never had structural issues. My local shop carries them, which is what makes that convenient. Final event of the week. It was perfect because I could feel everybody decompressing.
Yeah.
There. Even, you know, Tony and Mark, I could feel everybody sort of like,
yeah.
Oh, that was Mark, a good weekend.
Mark was totally relaxed. We were talking to him at the bar. I sat next to him for the longest time and, you know, and chit-chatting. He's, you know, I can imagine what it takes to get this whole thing ready, all three of them, you know, and then the fact that it's the last thing, he's having a beer, he's having a cigar, he's just relaxing. I agree with that. Everybody was just hanging and it was great.
Yep. I did not join for anything after this. I ran back to my room to handle some things personally, so that way to make my next day easier. And I don't think I really did much with I didn't really do much for the rest of the day. Otherwise, did you do anything after the cigar bar?
We did. We went over to the TI. Tony went over there with Bogan, a couple other people, and I left like not long after them, and I walked across the bridge that takes you right into the TI, and I see Tony walking around. I go, what are you doing? He's like, I'm looking for a craft table. And I pointed over there. So I walked over to the craft table. I got there first, and it was $10, and it was half full. And so I kind of turned to him and I hold up two fives and he goes, jump on it. So I bought in and they came along and bought in. And as soon as we did that, it went up to 15. But they grandfathered us in.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Oh yeah. But anybody, I think a couple of the guys showed up late, but they had to pay 15.
Yeah.
And it was just the ice cold table. It was like 0.7. It was, and I bought in for 500 and I think I left with 100 and I was like, okay, this is not so good.
Yeah.
So I kind of walked around, tried a couple slots and then just said goodbye to everybody. And then just kind of went back to my room and relaxed because I was leaving the next day.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing about the next day, my flight didn't leave till 3. So I was like, okay, I had breakfast at Harrah's at the Fulton. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to play some serious video poker and make a real effort to try to get my Royal. And I pounded this machine for 2 hours straight. And there was one hand I got. I was going to tag you on Twitter on it, but I decided not to. So I get a flush, 4 to the flush, but a 5-card flush. So the fifth card is an 8. And I'm like, I text my friend, what would you do? He's like, gotta go for it. Of course I went for it and didn't get it. But you know, yeah. It was, that was the closest I had gotten, but you know, I'd get down and I'd get back up. And then the words of Vital Vegas popped into my head, play an uncomfortable denomination. So I went up to $2 and, $10 a hand. And it just went boom right out. I was like, okay. But 2 days later, I get an email from Caesars saying, due to your play on, you know, 6/15, you have earned an extra 125 tier credits.
Oh, well, like, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, right. So that was good.
It's, I just got an email. So this is unrelated to 360, but on like getting emails based on play. A couple of days ago, I got an email from the casino host at Oyo, not a casino host, the casino host. So if anybody's curious about what hosting looks like at Oyo, according to the way she worded her email, she's the only one. And she was like, I've been reviewing valued players and your name popped up. Tim, I've played there one time and it was back in January.
Wow.
And I know I know why I'm being flagged. I cycled a bunch of coin in at their Buffalo Diamond machine and I knew that it was going to flag something. Cause I imagine there was enough coin in to get a response out of them, but I was surprised. Like it's like 5 months later. they're just like, you just noticed
that. All right, let's try to get some people in here. Yeah. So you get I was there in November. Because I needed a chip and they had a $5 craps table. I'm like, hey, yeah, sure, I'll play. But I didn't get a player's card or anything. So you just get a player card everywhere?
Yeah. So in January, I was trying to do everything. I was trying to do a bunch of bankroll building, right? So like I had my Las Vegas advisor, booklet on me with the coupons and stuff inside of it. And I was like just hopping from casino, taking advantage of any signup bonuses that I hadn't taken advantage of yet, using the coupons and stuff that was in his book. And then you doing any positive EV play I saw in the joint. And, not just say it, I don't know if I got a chip from Oyo. Not just say, I need to go back and make sure I got one. You, sir, were nice enough to grab me one from Virgin.
Virgin. And I have to say that casino, beautiful. I mean, yeah. Of course, most of these places that I was chip hunting at, I went in the morning, so they're all quiet anyway. But yeah, it was really beautiful in there.
How many new chips did you end up coming away with on this trip?
6.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, 8.
Well, that's even better.
Yeah, there were a few from downtown that I had to go grab, and then Mandalay Bay. And so the only one on the strip that I don't have right now is Resorts World.
Okay.
And I've Encore, if they have separate chips than the win. I don't know if they do or not.
That is a fantastic question. You know who would know the answer to this question?
I know, the Crap Vegas guys.
The Crap Vegas guys, yes. Good podcast, that.
Yeah, Crap Vegas. I just got caught up on their last two episodes this morning.
They feed off of each other well.
Yeah,
it was one of those...
I missed them at the meet and greet as well. They were there with Vegas Introvert. Or maybe it was just... Michael Traeger, I'm sorry.
It was just Yeah. So I saw them the Saturday night before.
Yeah, you did the
crunch, bro. Yeah, but I don't think they came down to any of the 360 stuff. I think they were under the impression that it was an invitation thing. And so, And so I think there may have been a miscommunication there, because I was like, because people are like, hey, where's Duffy? I want to meet Duffy. And I'm like, hey, Duffy, where are you at? And he's like, I wasn't invited. And I didn't know how to tell him. Like, I didn't want to be like, you didn't have to be.
This isn't some big exclusive thing. You, this is Vegas.
You can just
man.
Show up. No one's going to care. Like, even if you weren't invited, no one, like, if we're in the middle of a casino bar. Like, no, who's good? They can't tell you to not show up.
Oh, my God. What are you doing here? You weren't invited.
Man. So now that you've been to two of these, well, I guess maybe the first question, was there anything that you did this year that was specifically informed by what you experienced last year in either how you spent your time or how you, I don't know, take that question however you want, if there's an answer to it.
Well, the beauty of the way they set it up is you're not doing something all the time, right? They have one or two events a day and they're spread out and there's time before and after to do whatever you want to do, right?
Yeah.
I was there by myself. So, I mean, I gambled or I, you know, took a nap or whatever. But the way that they schedule it is it's not so intrusive on your time, but you can enjoy anything else you want to do in Vegas and still enjoy the events that they have set up. And that's the beauty of the whole thing. And that's the genius of Mark, in my opinion.
Yeah. Agreed. It's my favorite thing. So in the first year that I went, like most people, I tried to be at everything, right? I tried to like experience anything. I ended up being at just about everything this year, just because the things they put together was just all of it was up my alley, right? The of course I love meetups. Who doesn't love group gaming? And then like the cocktail cigar, I was like the beer crawl, like everything.
Pushed all your buttons.
If you showed my wife that, she'd think that I planned it, right? Like she would have been like, "Oh, Tim clearly planned this event." I think last year, or maybe it was my first year. I think it was the first year that I didn't force myself to go to everything. It was the second year that I started trying to go to more things. It is nice to sort of be able to pick and choose. And like I said, it's not other than the cocktail event where you actually have to like pay to go and actually RSVP and stuff like that. There's no like, you know, it's not invite only. They're Duffy. You're allowed to show up there, Josh. Tim, what are your non-gambling activities in Vegas? Because
I'm not a pool person.
Okay.
A few years ago, we stayed at the South Point because my sister-in-law was in a bowling tournament. And that's the only time I can remember in Vegas going to the pool in South Point, because unless you want to take the 20-minute ride to the strip, you know, I mean, you're kind of sequestered out there and nothing wrong. The place is great and everything, but that's the only time I've ever been to the pool. We do like to, when I go with my wife, we do like to see a show. We're planning to see Absinthe when we go in November and, you know, and always at least one good meal. I know we've had this conversation. I mean, we always want to go to one really nice dinner. Last year was Andiamo, and the year before, I think we went to Bugsy and Myers at Flamingo. One of those nice dinners is always on the agenda. I did not do one this this past weekend though.
I was hoping to slide into a booth at Andiamo at some point. I did not end up doing that, but I did get a chance on during the dice crawl. We stopped at the steakhouse at Circus.
I heard.
Which, look, you can laugh at Circus all you want. There's a whole bunch of reasons too. That steakhouse was pretty good. The food
was
good. The ambiance was good. And it's an all-inclusive price too, right? Like you didn't have to pick and choose like the $30 vegetables and the $20 potato, right? Like it was, you know, when you ordered your steak, the price next to it also came with the sides that you chose as well. So
for my birthday, originally our fall trip with all our friends would go usually start at the end. We go to the end of September, early October, because me and a few of my friends have birthdays in the same week. So one year Kim took me to the Golden Steer, which is what they say is the oldest steakhouse in Las Vegas. And that was an event, you know, big booth, and they make the Caesar salad in front of you and the steak was fantastic. And, that's kind of cool to go to those standalone places like that.
So, I realized something I like to ask chip collectors, What is your prerequisite on getting a chip? Everybody, there's a handful of people out there that just like have no problem with walking in, getting a chip and leaving. Do you have a gambling prerequisite to getting a chip?
Yes, I do. I have to play.
Do you have to play in general or does it have to be a table game?
No, I have to play something where I get a chip, right? So obviously okay. A slot's not going to do it. I have to play blackjack or like for instance at Virgin, I played free bet blackjack, which I've never played before. And that did not go well, but I was able to get my chip. But I always like to sit and play. Usually it's blackjack because, you know, either I'll get a blackjack where I'll get a single or I'll get change for the waitress or something like that and end up with one. But I'm sure there's a couple that I've gotten that came from somewhere else. You know, I was looking at I don't have a huge collection. I've only started in the last few years, but I got a Green Valley Ranch one and I'm not exactly sure how I know we went to Henderson one time, but
yeah,
I was like, oh, okay, cool.
I think I have one. I think it's a Silverton. I think I was able to get a chip, like I made a sports bet there. And I think I literally walked up to a table with a dollar and just like, hey, can you give me a chip? But making the bet of the book was enough for me to, sure. I try to make it a table game, but I like, so long as I've made a wager, at the spot, if I can get a chip, otherwise they don't do it at the cage anymore, man. So many places will not give you a chip at the cage, which is really, it's, I understand, but it's also like kind of annoying. I've gotten lucky a few times, like SLS gave me a chip right there at the cage, but so many places will say, you know, you gotta get your chips at the table. So, but I do the same thing. I do a similar thing. If I know I have to go to a table, I usually go to a blackjack table and I'll buy in for whatever one hand, the minimum for one hand plus $2, $1 chip for my pocket. And then a $1 for tip for the dealer. Nice. Yeah. And then I'll play the one hand of blackjack and then that'll be it.
Usually I'll have time and I'll buy in for a couple hundred and play a bunch of hands and, you know, and see if I can get lucky.
And I mean, you told us about the cold craps table at TI, but how did your week go otherwise?
My bankroll took a little bit of a hit. I don't mind telling you, I didn't really have any really big wins. Mandalay Bay, I won 150 on video poker, and nothing else really stood out.
Yeah,
it was not that great of a gambling weekend, but really fun with everything else.
Yeah. Agreed. It was a fantastic week. And I hope that I can make the next one, but with some life changes going on over here in the Lawson household, we'll see. Tim Kennedy of Illinois. It has been, by the way, have you made a bet on soccer at all in your life? Never.
I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know how.
I haven't inspired you one time.
No.
He's now leaving he's walking away from the microphone. He's like, I'm not dealing with this. Sir, thank you for doing this, man. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
It is great. Great talking to you as well. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Big thanks again to Tim for joining me. It's always fun hanging out with new people here on the podcast. And it was really cool to hear about the poker meetup, the event that he does with his friends once a year. That was super cool. And then of course hearing sort of his perspective on community meetup in Vegas. So thank you, Tim, for joining me. I don't really have any like admin notes here. I don't have a Vegas vacation. I don't have a gambling trip at all booked. I'm not quite sure what to do with myself. I don't have, for the first time in a long time, I don't know when the next time I'm going to be in Vegas is. In a couple weeks, well, actually, yeah, in about a week or two, I'll be doing a State of the Better Life episode where I sort of talk about how we feel about the gambling space in general, sports betting, casinos, the content space, and then an update here from the Better Life personally as a brand. Patreon episode will drop tomorrow. BetterMerch.com is where you can cop some merchandise. I have finally gotten a couple items designed and am working with the printers. I have a blackjack shirt, or a shirt that maybe makes fun of blackjack is a better way of putting it. That is in the works. I have a couple, I have a polo for my golfers, and I have a t-shirt with a betting on golf reference on it. So those are some things that are coming up. If you are an ambassador on Patreon and you're wondering what's happened, that's my bad. I have, you know, getting new merchandise and getting restocked has been difficult in the past few months. So I appreciate your patience. I will be following up with each of you very soon to get caught up on that and reward you for your support. I do appreciate everybody who takes the time to listen. I know there's a lot of great podcasts out there, so it really does mean the world to me that you've taken the time to listen to me here. Next week, I believe, next week we're probably going to do State of the Better Life, and I'll probably at least have at least one guest to provide their perspective, but otherwise I'll be going over sort of how I see things from here in my little corner of the world. Hope everybody is well. Good luck with all your bets that you may have going on this weekend. Good luck if you head to the casino. On behalf of Tim Kennedy, I am Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.